This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This episode is brought to you by Dr. Squatch. When your personal care routine needs a refresh, Dr. Squatch is here to help. They have high-performing natural products with no harmful ingredients that'll have you looking and smelling your best. Like the Bay Rum Soap and Deodorant. It smells delightfully spicy. And right now, they have an amazing offer for new customers. Get 20% off your first purchase of any amount or a subscription order by going to drsquatch.com/Spotify or use the code Spotify at checkout.
Hello and welcome to Animation Weekly. We're back after a super long break, but we're excited because there's a guest in the studio, our second one in show history, which is always exciting. We love having guests in our studio, and this week is super special because it's Tara Sands. She's been in things like Digimon, One Punch, Sailor Moon, Celebrity Deathmatch, Barbie, Little Witch Academy, One Piece, and this is the tip of the iceberg, guys. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
One, yes, you already know what it is. We've been very anime heavy lately, but I'm not sad about it.
It's okay.
It's pretty good.
It's leading to possible future stuff.
Oh! Oh, I see. Anyway, I'm Joelle Monique.
Hey, my name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. I was going to say, wait, did you say where people find you?
They know. We'll talk about it at the end. Okay. I want to get into this interview.
Okay. But yes, where can they find you, our special guest?
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
Wait, I'm only your second guest?
You're only our second guest.
This is... Oh, that's so cool.
You're followed by the, voice, very of, cool. You're so the voice of Porky Pig, Bob Bergen.
He's amazing.
Who is wonderful.
But he probably didn't have to sit on a booster seat like I did.
He did not have
to
sit on
I'm
a booster
seat. You guys, I'm so short. I'm sitting literally on a booster seat.
It's okay.
It's like a child seat. Oh, hi. Sorry. You made you get
you're
extra cushion.
It. It's good.
I digressed. Where can they find me?
Yeah, where they find
on
you
the
online?
Internet.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Tara Sands LA. And it's spelled like it sounds.
Cool.
It's
that's
not
it.
Tricky, guys.
It's not tricky.
That's
why I changed it a long time ago.
No,
oh my gosh,
smart.
Can
Make
you reveal the secret? What was it before?
It was spelled. It's a long story. It was very hard to spell.
Fascinating.
You can do Google research and find it easily. It's not a secret. I just don't want to bore you with that and kind of information right now.
All right, well, let's get right into it. When did you find yourself starting to play with your voice?
Always. Like my first sentences, I was imitating commercials.
Wow.
Yeah. So I wasn't being paid for it then. So I guess I sort of, and I was a talker. I mean, I never shut up. I had attention a lot for talking. And then I was singing as well. And then, in high school, I was singing in a local competition at like the Y and like a talent manager was there.
Wow.
Yeah, I was crazy. And then the first audition they sent me on was for a voiceover for
nice.
A commercial. And I had to say something like, ew, gross, a wart. And for Compound W. And I booked that job. And I was like, what?
Awesome.
This is, no. And my mom was like, you're getting paid for, are you joking? And yeah, and I was like, I can't believe this is a job I could have. I want to do that. I started young. And being a singer, you were always manipulating your voice.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I just never, and it was even more years before I realized cartoons were something that I could do. Like, it just, again, and I was in New York, it weren't as many cartoon opportunities. I was lucky enough to do some there. But, yeah, I'm just always talking funny. And
so when do you make your way out to L.A.?
I moved here about 10 years ago. I was hosting a TV show on Cartoon Network. Called Fridays.
Yeah.
Where I got to interview, like, it's so weird for me. I hate, not that I'm not enjoying this, but all I want to do is ask you guys questions. So I used to host this TV show where I got to interview people on Cartoon Network. So when I was doing that, it was easier to live here, even though we shot in Atlanta.
Mm.
And I was back and forth a
Flights
bunch.
Flights to Atlanta from LA is just very, it's easy.
Pretty easy.
Standard. You know, you're not doing a lot of layovers or anything. Both are hub cities.
They're Delta hub. I used to call myself Tri-Coastal because I was like New York, Atlanta, and LA.
Not bad spots.
It just made me feel cool. Yeah, I really was, barely, but
So, okay, you're starting to get into voice acting. You're booking commercials, which are typically pretty short. Like, you're not recording a commercial for more than, like...
By Coke! Yeah, it was quick. They were... I was in the booth for less than an hour, usually.
So as you started getting into, like, feature films and stuff, especially where you're doing a lot of dubbing, which is much more complicated than, like...
different.
This is labor-intensive.
Yeah. Because, well, walk us through that. Like, what makes dubbing more labor-intensive than, you know, just recording your voice?
Well, for one, you know, a commercial, you've usually auditioned, and they've chosen you for whatever you've done. And so if it's a 30-second spot... You know, they kind of know what they want you to do, and a lot of commercial actors have trouble, I think, moving over to the other, to longer form stuff, because they're used to just the instant gratification and the quick sessions. So my first intro to longer form...
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other toppings, and managing it as one big, juicy investment. Mmm, now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
Stuff was audiobooks. I started working in audiobooks, and I'd be
in
the studio for days. And but I loved it. I mean, like, literally the minute I put on any headphones, I have a flashback to, and I'm in headphones most of the day, every day, but I always, almost always, have a flashback to the We Are the World video, and they're like, and I just want to do that. Like, there's something cool about that. Like, and I know, like, even, like, my cousin's kids will come over, or my friend's kids, and the first thing they want to do when they come into my booth is put on the headphones. Mm. And there's something about that motion, or that thing, that kind of gets me, I don't want to say into character, but into work mode, into job mode.
Sure.
I don't know what I was talking about.
It's like putting on your helmet.
Yeah.
No, I totally get that.
It is. It's like...
You're buckling in.
I don't have equipment. It's not like I have a costume for voiceover. So, you know, when I would do theater work, or, you know, I had a costume. I have no idea how I transitioned into what we're talking about. You asked me a good question.
I have a question about audiobooks. Long form.
Yeah.
What was your favorite audiobook to do, and why?
Oh, God. There's so many good ones. I do a series called Sammy Keys.
Yeah.
And I've been working on it for like 20 years now. Wow. I think we've done 16 books, and the series is over. We're a little bit behind in the audio. But to have I got to watch the character change. I heard my own voice change during that time, which is weird, because I'll go back and be like, what did I sound like? And try to pitch it. And that's not just like it's not a 30-second commercial. It's a six-hour book where my voice is like this the entire, you know, sustaining it, or sustaining a Southern accent as the narrator. Mm. So those are long sessions. And I think... Some people, like you were asking about dubbing, like those, not only are you worried about the voice and your performance, but you're worried about matching some lip flap that was done in a language that doesn't necessarily correlate timing-wise with what you're saying. So there's a lot of time for rewrites. It's just a different kind of
job. Are they often rewriting while you're in the booth?
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah. It doesn't... It's not all the time, and it really depends. Certain shows are great, and they're written. The writers are awesome about writing the timing to the flap. or, like, sometimes you get really lucky. Like, I've had a couple shows where you don't see the character's mouth. Like, they're always in a mask.
Oh, that's so nice, yeah.
And when I get there, I'm like, yes, score, because you don't have to be. And then you can think about the performance more.
Sure. With that, do you ever get input on suggesting a word if, like, something doesn't work? And if they're writing on the spot, can you be like, can we try this instead?
It depends who it is, but for the most part, if it's like, if the sentence is, I can't wait to get to our destination, I can say, hey, can we just uncontract this? I think it's going to fit better. Or I could, you know, mm-hmm. I'm not shy. I'm sure there's actors who are. And it again, if it's my first time working with someone, I'll probably shut my big mouth. Mm-hmm. But again, they're not usually the people who wrote it, so they're not as attached.
Oh, sure.
By the time it gets to me, it's been through a translator where it's just like a loose translation for Japanese anime, if we're mm-hmm. talking about that. So first, it's a direct translation from what I understand, and then it gets to a writer who's more really micromanaging the flap and all that, and then it gets to me and a director. So I'm not dealing with someone who's like, this is their baby, I'm asking to, like, change.
Yeah.
And again, we're really careful, too, because it's already been translated, so you're already losing a little bit of maybe mm-hmm. the meaning, you know, maybe it was a joke in Japan that doesn't translate to our culture, so we're trying to write a different joke. I mean, it gets tricky. Yeah, and then that's why the fans kind of, you know, I know there's fans that prefer to watch a subtitled version, because so we just try to make them happy, stay as true to the script as we can, and not mess it all up.
I mean, obviously your bread and butter is dubs, but do you have a preference of subs versus dubs?
I love working with a group. Mm. So, subs versus
to watch.
Yeah. To watch. Reading is so hard. No,
when you're tired, I totally right? late at night or while you're eating, and then you're like, wait, what?
I just hearing people in the comments section. Reading is so hard.
No. If I'm multitasking, there's no way I can watch.
Eating and tired, those are two where I'm like, oh, subtitles are a little tricky at those moments.
And I'm a multitasker, so. I do like the dubs, but I think that's also I like the dubs if I'm watching for enjoyment or to see my friends. Mm. But if I what did I say? I like the dubs better for that. And subtitles, if I'm researching, mm-hmm. that's great. Like if I know that I'm going in to join a show, it's kind of fun to watch the original and see.
Oh heck yeah.
Yeah, to watch some scenes.
Ahead of time, and I mean, I know the director would probably adjust you later on, but if you are able to research like that, how much are you trying to match your performance to the previous original language performance?
See, I don't usually find that out till I get there.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So that's one of the first questions I ask when I get to an anime job. I say, how close to the original do they want this? Because mm-hmm. they tend to have, their young boy voices tend to sound very different than ours. Mm-hmm. How high-pitched a lot of their mm-hmm. female characters are. It's just our ears are not as used to that. So I say, like, how close do you want it to this?
Sure.
Sometimes, like, you can just hear. I mean, I dubbed something recently that was done with Australian voices, and they just wanted to do it with American voices for kids. And I thought that was the craziest thing, because I was dubbing from English. It was so weird.
Was there a lot of slang? Maybe?
There was a lot of like Australian might have been British. I can't remember if it was British. I thought it was Australian. It could have been British now that I'm thinking about it. It was a while ago, but it wasn't that
essentially
long ago.
English I'm lying to
I
English.
Just forget things, but it was English to English. But at least the flap wise we were pretty good.
Yeah.
But then sometimes like I would be like, well, do I want to copy her performance? That was good. I liked what she did there. Like, but then then it's weird because you don't, but if it worked. And then it's true to the show. So it's a weird call sometimes.
So in One Punch Man, you play Kombu Infinity, which is one of the first, like, monster creatures
yes.
that we see. And there's, like, a pretty distinct difference in that performance versus the original. I don't even know if it's 100% because of your performance, or because they do so much post to your voice in that. It's, like, layered. It's kind of got, like, an echoey sound to it.
And they don't that's stuff that I don't even know going
oh,
in.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That was one of those jobs that was before One Punch came out here.
Mm.
And I remember dubbing it going, this show is so weird. I'm like, but I said that about Pokemon when I first worked on it. I'm like, who's going to watch this? So what do I know? But again, I didn't know. I just watched something back the other day. I was going to like use a snippet of something for a demo. And I go, oh, wait, they totally tweaked my voice. I can't use this. So yeah, I just did what they told me. They said, mm-hmm. do the voice like you, I forgot they referenced something else I had done and said, we want it to sound like similar pitch to this. And then they went and played with it, which is cool. I mean, it's fun to watch back, but it's.
Is it because I know, like I have some actor friends who like if they, even go see a film of theirs where they feel like maybe the edits don't work. They're like, you know, we developed the character and you used a take where we didn't have, you know, that motivation there.
Yeah.
Does it bother you at all to hear it? Or you're like, I put so much work into this performance and now it's been altered.
The lucky thing about that is the performance stays. It's really the tone that changes. But I don't love it, I'll be honest. Because there have been a few shows where they would pitch me up or down a little bit. Mm-hmm. And they didn't. And I could have done it, like, where it was the kind of case where I was like, oh, I could have done that. But it had been figured out in post. So what happens sometimes is they'll get all the characters finally together, and they'll be like, oh, you know what? This one sounds a little too much. Like, this one, let's pitch this. So it's really out of my hands. And I could get upset. I mean, I understand why it would bug someone. I don't want to get too... I may always make jokes. Like, I remember, like, one time I was in something, like, we're going to put some effects. I'm like, don't you mess with my voice. But no, I mean, if it serves the show... I'm there to serve the show.
How difficult is it to dial your voice to different tones? Like, you made the example of, you know, them saying, do like this character. How easy can you slip into a particular voice?
Now it's easy. It took me a while to get there. It's just trust. It's trusting your voice. It's like sometimes they'll say, like, hey, do you want to start with the higher pitch character or the lower pitch character? Just because sometimes placement is a little weird and just staying, you know, like, luckily if you're playing two characters in a show, it's always easier to do one at a time. But I've done it where I've switched back and forth. Sometimes they talk to each other. And there's like kind of nothing more fun than that. Like, that to me. I think it was Hank Azaria I heard talking about that recently. It is, I mean, it's so cool. It's probably egotistical. I'm like, that's me and that's me. But it's cool. So, you know, especially if you don't recognize, like, there's been times I didn't recognize my voice, and that was really fun. But that's just a weird job I have, so.
Is there a character?
No matter what you're looking for in a non-alcoholic beer, there's only one name that has it all. Athletic Brewing Co. Full flavor, it's athletic. Huge variety, it's athletic. Award-winning styles you can get online, at the bar, or the grocery store, it's athletic. In fact, when it comes to amazing non-alcoholic beer, there's no question, it's athletic. Ask for it and find out. Go to askforathletic.com to find your closest retailer today. Near beer.
Where you feel like you have it, like, can you remember the character where you couldn't didn't recognize your voice?
It happened recently where something played back. I'm trying to remember. Yeah, I was just watching. I was putting together a demo and I started watching a video game I worked on. What was it? I don't know. It wasn't the Fire Emblem games, but that was some of them where I pitched my voice down. And it's really sexy. And I'm like, wait, is it me? Oh, yeah. And then there was another game called Popolo Croy where I played a little girl. And there's a ton of little girls in it. And I was like, wait, which one is me? And I didn't want to put someone else's voice on my demo.
Yeah.
But it was a little hard to tell. So if I can't, or I've been sent clips by fans and like, hey, did you play this role in this show? And there's times when I'm like, I don't know.
No. I'm not sure.
I don't think, or usually, if I don't know, I'll usually say, I don't think that was me.
So you were telling us a little bit before the show started that I was like, oh my gosh, you're also on One Piece.
Oh yeah.
And then you were like, oh, that's not even a good one. So tell us a little about this.
I didn't know. Okay, so I did the Four Kids One Piece, which was a long time ago. It was before social media. It was before all of this. And I didn't know that it was hated so much until I started doing conventions a few years ago. And again, I am not sensitive. Like, I didn't make the show. I didn't write the show. Like,
you're like, I just worked there.
I did the best job I could with what I did. And I started getting all these questions at panels. Like, what does it feel like to be on the One Piece that everyone hates?
Like, oh, my God.
And they would tell me how good the other one was. And I was like, well, I didn't know. But I'm very sorry you didn't like it. It was a cartoon made for children. Like,
so this is the edited one. Like, they take a lot of the original stuff out.
Yeah.
So this is kind of the Sailor Moon argument where people were really upset at the original Sailor Moon that aired in the United States. Because, you know, like, we had lesbians and you took them from us. How dare you? That's just me.
No, especially if you had watched the original, Mm-hmm. And it's weird then. It's like when you watch your favorite movie edited on like TBS and all the curses are gone or all the, it's weird.
When Samuel Jackson is saying mother trucker, I'm out. I'm like, no, that man curses. I know it.
But sometimes it's funnier. Like
that is funny though.
Yeah. See, that's funny. Like I think who was it? Seth Rogen wanted to do all of his dubbing for, I think, Pineapple Express. So he could write the funny words that they put in place. And I was like, everyone should do that. Then he's like, then he's guaranteeing it's ridiculous. And they said ridiculous things.
I bet. Oh
so, my gosh. Yeah, but I get, you know, if you're close to a show and you know it, like, I think a big argument with One Piece was, like, they took the gun out, they made it a lollipop or something like. But again,
it's for children.
It was for kids. It wasn't, that's what I say.
It's literally called for kids.
I'm like, it was not for you. Like, that show is not made for you. You were 47 watching that show. Like, that's, and I get it. But the truth was that for me, what I thought was cool about that period of time when it was the four kids ruled that Saturday morning with the Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh, all those great shows, they were this great gateway anime for kids who didn't know anything about anime. So to me, if One Piece got some kid to love anime, I'm sorry if you don't like it. Like, And now I think it's awesome because we have all these different versions of things. So if you didn't like that one, you can watch the other One Piece, which I hear is amazing.
It's soup's good.
Yeah. I have to. I will. It's on my list. And Sailor, there's different. You know, they're redoing and remaking. And so there's something. There's a version for everybody. And if someone wants to take their time to hate it, like,
hate watching can you be have a form something. Of entertainment too. Yeah. As my brother hate watched some ice skating with me the other day, he didn't like it. Right. I was loving it, but you know, he got entertainment out of laughing at the girls when they fell. It's not for everybody.
You find what you love in it.
Exactly. Well, and I feel like, especially for parents who are like really amped about like 100, the four kids version might be a really great way to introduce like your 2-year-old to it.
Exactly.
You know, and then maybe like when they're 10, 12, you can introduce them to the other one.
Totally. Yeah.
What were your gateway anime shows?
The one that I worked on that made me like anime was Slayers. Ooh. I don't know if you like that. It's an older one. But to me, that was the first one that was like, because I worked on Pokemon was the first anime I ever worked on. I kind of knew what anime was. And
is
I knew that
thing over there.
Well, kind of. I mean, we'd go to underground video stores to get stuff. That was our way to get stuff.
VHS tapes.
Yeah, classics. I mean, it's old school, so it just wasn't readily available to me. And I knew, like, Speed Racer, you know, that was... So even though Pokemon was awesome to work on, it wasn't what I would have sat down to watch. So a show like Slayers, a show like... I'm trying to think what else I've really... I mean, anything Ghibli, but that was later that I started watching that kind of stuff. That's more what spoke to me. And when I was like, okay, now I get... Why? You know, I understood why kids like certain things, but there were certain shows that then I started understanding
it's
why.
Like when I found Lupin the Third, I was like, "Oh my god!" Or Cowboy Bebop also is
that's
like a huge...
great gateway. I always call that a gateway anime. Like, there's
especially for Americans because it's got a very American kind of tone to it.
The soundtrack
and that music. I was gonna say,
and the actors are so good.
They're truly brilliant.
Slayers. I do remember Slayers.
I want to talk Netflix a little bit because you've done two shows with them. The first being Little Witch Academia, which, yes, so good. Replay Woodward, who is maybe the most adorable / beautiful creature ever.
She's very ethereal.
She is.
I didn't know what role I was doing when I walked in. They're like, oh, we're going to use your soft voice. And I was like, oh, really? Oh, my God. Like, for so long I was playing little girls and boys that was really fun to do that. And that was one of the shows where a lot of the other actors had recorded before me.
Oh.
Which is always a treat. I always say in anime, like, if you're the first one to record an episode, you have no one to play off of. Mm. It's a much harder job. Mm-hmm. That was when I got lucky, and a lot of it was already done. So I actually got to hear. Mm. It was like having an actual conversation. It was so nice. And what a cool show. So, yes, thank you, Netflix, for bringing that to America.
But you also then did Disjointed, where you play Sadie, who is a pot plant.
I play Talking Marijuana.
I love Sadie.
You saw it.
When Disjointed came out, I was like, first of all.
I could talk about Disjointed all day.
Netflix, with their marketing campaign, when they were like, we're just releasing strains of weed. I was like, what? This is amazing.
Just did you go to the pop-up shop?
I did. Like, I'm like, kind of obsessed with the show. Okay. And the fact that, oh my gosh, I'm name blanking so hard.
Oh,
the woman that leads the show.
Kathy Bates.
Kathy Bates is on TV as a crazy pot-smoking grandma. Like, that's all you need to know about the show.
I mean,
she's marvelous.
I don't have enough nice words to say about her. Like, she was, you know, I don't get too starstruck. That one, that did it.
Were you on set for that?
I got to be on set. That was the coolest thing. That was so cool.
So were you then reacting to them in the show?
It depends. On different episodes, it was done differently. Sometimes we pre-recorded. But I would just hang out anyway.
Hell yeah.
Oh, fun.
First of all, set when you don't have to do anything is great.
Oh, the best. I mean.
It's so, there's just food and everything to watch.
Oh, it's so much fun.
Live TV.
And everyone on that show, so new episodes start this Friday. There's 10 more episodes. Sadie returns for one episode.
Oh!
Sadie's back. Episode 5, you can hear me sing a little bit, but I would go to tapings and just hang out because the cast was lovely. For a lot of them, that was one of their first big shows, and they were just kind, and, you know, someone like Kathy Bates sets a tone, like, the same way with any show, with being here, with being, you know, someone sets a tone, and she is a magical unicorn, yeah. And then to see her, there's a scene this season where she says something like, you can't handle being this high or something. I don't remember what it was, but she had broken her foot or something with her ankle that weekend. I had a brace on and was on painkillers and was in pain. And was, this scene was the best thing you've ever seen. The whole audience stood up and applauded after.
Aww.
I mean, it was, I could talk all day about it. But yes, I got to play Marijuana Plants, and I'm very proud of that.
Kathy Bates, that's amazing. So there are actually some animated portions within the show, which are almost my favorite part of the show, which I'm not to discredit anything that's happening like on camera, but these animated portions are so like cool. They're almost Schoolhouse Rock in style.
Yeah.
With all kinds of wild content. Like everyone gets a
so bizarre
like animated thought at some point. Would you return to maybe do one of those at some point?
I would return to do anything they want me to do on that show. I've made that very clear. Usually the animation doesn't have a ton of, I know one of Carter's first ones did, but there's not a lot of dialogue in the animation. But what I think was really smart that they did, that I would love other shows to kind of do, is they hired a different animation studio for every week so that nothing looked the same. You know, it wasn't, and I think that's like a kind of a cool idea in animation in general, to mix up who's doing it. Like, I would love to see another studio's version of The Simpsons, or,
totally.
It would be kind of fun to see something like that.
They had a Dante's Inferno movie, and each level of hell was a different style of
animation. Oh, that's cool. See, that I would love to see.
That's a really good
movie.
I think
it was all different anime, too, but they're all very different for each, like, when he gets down. You're like, wow, because then you're just like, this is exciting to see a new style.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. I should write down to watch that.
Secretly, I'm a huge Barbie animated movie fan. Like, literally no one knows this. This is my confession.
Oh, God. This is like a support group for you now.
Look at Carrie's judging.
Not Barbie, but I've watched all the Tinkerbell movies, and I really like the Tinkerbell
movies. See, okay,
that's
fun.
Good stuff.
They're really adorable.
Yes. Stuff made for two-year-olds is amazing. Like, it's like taking, like, a Klonopin, and just like, and I'm zoned out. Like, I don't need to worry anymore.
Right, chill. You just compared Tinkerbell to a Klonopin.
I did.
That's the greatest thing I've ever heard. is so... Wow. I might have to use that on something.
I mean, I will say they did get better as I went along. Like, the first one was like, but, like, by the... I think it's, like, the Sacred Beast or whatever. Like, the last one, you're just like... all the feels.
Well, okay.
You've ever had a pet or anything?
I honestly feel like writers get, like, more vested. Like, the first one's like a paycheck. Yeah. They're like, here is...
Yeah, and then they're just figuring it out.
Yeah.
That's a lot of it.
They're like, what tone are we going
for? Let's keep it safe and see what people respond to.
And by the third time when you're invested in characters and they've made choices that you've lived with and are vested in, they get really great. And Barbie is no different. Barbie is a fairy at one point. She's a mermaid in another movie.
Oh, my gosh.
I worked at a children's hair salon.
She could do anything, that Barbie.
She surely can.
I'm so sick of her. She's so good at everything.
You played Summer in Dream House.
I did.
What is it like to be the voice that all little girls want to grow up to be?
Oh, my gosh. I actually, someone from Disjointed was just tweeting about Barbie life in the Dream House. And I was like, I'm Summer on that. And she's like, you're so cool. I'm like, but you're Jenny on Disjointed. Hi, Liz. Yeah, I loved working on it. Also, that was an example, because it was an anime, of new records. So we got to, a lot of those episodes, we got to record together, which I think makes a big difference sometimes in the in just the character connection and all of that stuff, everything making sense. So that's why I love that show. And I feel like Dreamhouse works for kids, it works for adults, it works. I tell a lot of my friends, like, okay, I know this is going to sound weird, but if your daughter wants to watch something, like, this is something you won't get mad at her having on. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, I always think that's, like, a good example of something that parents can watch with them and not want to kill themselves.
Truly.
Yeah, there's some kids' stuff that's just hard.
Oh,
it's Teletubbies. And then like, this is dumb.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, Teletubbies was, like, so mind-numbing. I was like, I can't. We have to have some kind of engagement here, children.
Just like Care Bears was for kids, but it was smart.
Also, yeah. Care Bears had a legitimate villain, and I can get behind any show with a real villain.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Who's the villain on Teletubbies?
There was no villain. They were just running up a hill, and then baby son came out.
But see, that's a good, maybe we could write that. That's a new one,
The villain of Teletubbies. The villain would be me. I would be very
You would
violent.
Be killing all of the Teletubbies.
Yeah. Speaking of killing, maiming, and otherwise crushing people, Celebrity Deathmatch was one of my favorite shows of all time. When they brought it back, I had, like, this bittersweet moment of, like, this is not enough like the originals, but it's still Celebrity Deathmatch, and it's great. You play Hilary Duff, who is amazing.
I did a few episodes of that show. That might have been my first cartoon job after, like, of non-anime, actually.
Wow. Was that MTV?
MTV. It was, and then it moved to, like, MTV2 or something. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I love that show so much. I mean, that was the, I mean, and just, like, the stuff that you would get, like, you would do all your lines, and then you would just have to do random, like, screeching and hair pulling and crazy, like, attack. I mean, it was like a video game in that way, where you were just recording all these exertions and efforts. And then sometimes you'd be there. I remember there was one, I don't remember which role I was recording. It might have been when I did Alyssa Milano. I don't remember which episode was which, but they were like, oh, can you be one of David Copperfield's sexy girlfriends? I'm like, yeah.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, so I ended up, like, you would end up just playing random things. And Eric Vogel, who I think, I want to make sure I'm saying his name right. Eric Vogel? I don't know, look it up. I'm working on a show now called Food Truckers, and he's writing a bunch of those episodes.
Yes!
And that's so cool to me, because I'm such a fan of his stuff, so that made me really happy.
So in doing voices for real people, how did you go about getting that voice?
Oh.
Like, you know, Hilary Duff is a person we know. Did you go, like, watch?
I tried.
Okay.
I mean,
watching Lizzie McGuire or something? You know?
Yeah, like, I definitely, I think for some of those, they sent some sound samples.
Oh, okay, then that's good.
But I am not, like, I look at that stuff and I go, I don't sound anything like her. But I think that's sometimes the fun of that show.
Is that they don't?
Totally.
Sure.
Is that it's a wild interpretation?
Yeah, I am not a mimic. Yeah.
No, it's like a wild interpretation of a celebrity personality. That's what made it great, because it was, because wrestling is all personalities. Like, it's all just these wild kind of crazy distinct voices. So then to apply that over a celebrity who already have, like, a lot of thoughts about and kind of can love but also hate them because they have money and they're, like, gorgeous. It just works. And then you can see them beat the crap out of each other. Like,
it's so satisfying, right?
It really genuinely is. Especially if there's actual, when they pick celebrities that have actual drama with each other. When you're like, I want to know who we, like, an artist interpretation of who would win.
Well, and it's funny, too, because the roles that I did Hilary Duff, Alyssa Milano, I think I played Natalie Maines, because I was one of the Dixie Chicks at some point.
That's amazing.
And, And those are three people who don't have weird or distinct voices.
Mm-hmm.
There's, like, it wasn't like
Gilford
playing
Godfrey
Rosie O'Donnell
or
like Rosie Perez or someone with an accent. So they were very normal voices, which are the hardest to imitate, actually. So, you know, I didn't go too crazy, but
did any of those people ever be like, hey?
I was just going to say.
Oh, my God, yes.
No, I mean, they never looked me up, but I was sitting behind Alyssa Milano at a movie theater once, and I so badly wanted to say something. First of all, because I'm just a fan. Like, you know, I just think she's cool.
I'm currently rewatching Charmed. She's amazing.
I mean, she's awesome.
So
and I love her Twitter. I'm impressed with her Twitter feed. But this was years ago, and I'm sitting behind her, and I'm like, I don't want to bother her. But I want to tell her I played her on Celebrity Deathmatch. Because I feel like that's, like, kind of an okay, and I totally chickened out.
You need a tweet at her.
Maybe, but what if she hated it?
That's a lot of
look,
that
you don't see Trump inviting Alec Baldwin to the White House.
But Trump isn't trying.
No, totally.
Like, I feel like Elizabeth Milano has a sense of humor.
Oh, yeah, she'd be totally I'm sure she'd be totally fine. I bet she never even watched it. Like who knows if she ever
even watched it. Celebrity Deathmatch.
Yeah.
I was at the cusp of my career
at this
point.
But I don't think she won is the thing.
Because it was
her versus Sabrina the Teenage Witch, and I have to rewatch it. But I'd be pissed if I didn't win. No, because they were both witches.
Oh, yep. Sarah Jessica Parker versus
Clever.
Okay,
yes.
Okay, so if it's Sarah Jessica Parker versus Piper, no.
Prue,
no, other one.
Not Sarah Jessica Parker.
I got all of the names.
Yeah,
wrong
I'm
just
like
now.
No.
Yeah, wait.
I got one name that I got.
Melissa right. Joan Hart. Is that what you're thinking of? Yeah.
Okay,
which they are remaking Sabrina.
Yes, they are with my girl Shipka.
Yes, I love her
from Mad Men.
Her name sounds like a curse, but I love it.
It does.
Yeah,
but she also her eyes feel like they're constantly cursing you. Like she's got the most intense awesome. Eyes, and her reactions.
This water is Shipka. Just kidding.
I wanted to ask you. So you've been on like a ton of iconic shows. You played like Bulbasaur on Pokemon for crying out loud. But they're.
Still makes me laugh. I don't know why.
But yeah. There are a ton of, like, animated shows that are kind of, like, legend at this point. Like, you mentioned The Simpsons. American Dad is a personal favorite.
So good.
There's SpongeBob. Like, is there a show that you're like, man, I gotta get on it?
Yes. Mm. South Park.
Wow! Yes!
I mean, that's my...
You could use your trucker mouth there. Yes!
I could. Matt, Trey. It's a pretty tight-knit group over there. I don't know how I would possibly infiltrate that. But I did enter the contest. Not lying. I entered a contest recently on that site where you can, like, enter to, like, have a walk-on. And I never do any of that stuff. But it's a charity. And so for every, like, $10 you donate or something, you get an entry to have you yourself animated in a South Park episode and visit the studios. And I was like, yeah, I'll enter that.
Here's a few entries.
Because, like, that's what I geek out over, man. Like, and seeing how fast they work, I would love to be in a fly on the wall there. They're just geniuses.
Totally. I would like to see you play a gem on Steven Universe.
Oh,
I think that would be really cool.
To make it happen.
Because, you know, in order to be a gem, you have to be able to both sing and do, you know, the crazy vocal performances. And if you got to be a diamond, you could use your little sultry voice, which would
be fun for you.
Get away from the kid stuff.
Well, 2018. Those are the two new goals. I love it.
You were telling us JoJo's Bizarre Adventures.
So weird.
So this is a show that just
you watch it, you're weird. Not kidding.
I've read the first manga and I was like, It's really violent.
Weird.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Wait, so tell us about it. I don't know the story.
Well, so I don't know. I'll be completely honest. I didn't know a ton about it until I worked on these two episodes. One aired last week, one's airing this week. And it's apparently like the most disturbing arc to people.
Ooh.
And I play a baby who is also a stand, which means he has another form that he fights in. But I'm an evil baby.
That's amazing.
That they totally get back at.
Yes.
I don't want to give away too much, but, like, you're allowed to hate this baby. Like, I
feel like that's going to be so cathartic for some people.
Right? Well, that's the thing. It's like, kick that baby. he's evil. I mean, he's a terrible, terrible baby. But I didn't know any of this. All I knew going in was that it was going to be vocally strenuous, which was really nice that they gave me a heads up. I did not know how disgusting it was going to be. Like, I almost puked.
And what do you mean by vocally strenuous for this
particular case? A lot of yelling, a lot of crying. JoJo in general, actors are usually told in advance that they can, you know, if they want to turn it down, it's going to be a vocally strenuous booking. Which is so, I mean, we're so appreciative when someone tells us that. Because what I'll try to do then is not have something lined up for early the next morning, give myself time to rest. Or if it's something I don't care about, I don't know if I've ever said no, but I definitely wasn't told that I was going to almost puke in the booth. From things I'm saying, there's one moment that will happen on Saturday night on Toonami that, I apologize in advance for, I apologized in advance of the episode airing the other day. Luckily, this baby is only in two episodes, but yeah, it is creepy. Like, and I thought One Punch was weird.
Yeah.
But this is...
JoJo's, it is bizarre.
It's bizarre.
At Anime Expo, they had a t-shirt that says, "Do you even know how to pose?"
Wow.
Or like, "Do you even pose?" Like the "Do you even lift?" They had the "Do you even pose?"
See,
and I was like, that's actually kind
of
funny.
Did you get it?
Well, I've read some of it.
No, did you get the t-shirt?
No.
Did you purchase it?
Okay. You probably just took a picture of it, which is the same thing. Now. Like, now you can just take a picture of stuff. And it's like,
no, I wasn't enough into it that I'm like, I'm going to buy it, but I appreciated it walking by and was like, all right.
I get the joke. Yeah.
So it's not my favorite style of art.
It's violent for me, too. Like
I don't mind the violence. I just don't like this.
It's not your aesthetic.
Art style. Yeah. Yeah, we talked about that, of like anime and different styles.
Just broke everything.
Are you more of a shoujo or shonen fan, like visually? Do you know what those are?
No.
It's okay.
I should. I'm the
worst. No, it's fine. I mean, I don't think people often always say that. So, like, shoujo is very more like the girly and pretty and flowers. Or on High School Host Club, Sailor Moon.
Yeah.
Any of those, like, cutesy things. And then shonen is more like the fighting stuff, like One Punch and Dragon Ball Z and stuff.
Huh.
But even within those, there's so many variations.
I was going to say, like, I loved the way Little Witch Academia looked. It's almost sort of in the middle, I would think.
They're a little bit different.
They've got an American style of, like, almost.
Yeah. Is that what it is? Like, maybe that's...
I don't mean to say that it's American, I mean it's
different.
It meets that middle ground, just like, what's the other one on Netflix? Neo Yokio, which has, like, a Japanese aesthetic, but, like, kind of a more flat American style, I think.
Yeah, I really like the way that looked. I mean, again, I don't always know, I'm not savvy enough to know what I'm looking at. Mm-hmm. I just know if, like, I like
their
it
eyes enough. Sparkle and stuff like that, and if you go really far.
See, I like that in small doses. But I think I would get cuted out. But,
totally hear that.
Like, I worked on Glitter Force, which is really fun to work on. But I don't know, like, if I could list, like, watch that, like, binge it because of like all the magical craziness.
I wanted to ask you, you've been doing conventions and things, and paneling and stuff, which is like Carrie and I know a lot about. Is there a show you like paneling for the most? Is there a show with, like, just an amazing fan base that you're like, more of these people?
Well, there's one thing I do at convention. I do a Pokemon trivia contest.
Wow!
Oh, which is so much, because there's no one more diehard than those, because they grew up with it, and it's really cool to meet them as grown-ups now and here, because I was working on it as a young adult, so I wasn't taking away the same life lessons that these kids were, you know, like, hopefully I'd already learned some of them. But when you see how that shapes them and they tell you how this show affected their lives and what they learned about friendship, and I mean, really beautiful stories that you hear. But my favorite thing is to do the Pokemon trivia contest, because I can't believe what these people know. Like, I have some that are easy questions, and then I go to the really hard ones, and I look at these guys, I'm like, did you do homework? Like, what is this all you did? All, like, they've watched so that to me is so much fun, to see these people answer these crazy questions.
So, serious question, Pikachu speaking, how do you feel about that?
I heard about it.
Did you see it?
I saw that trailer. I mean, yeah, the I don't clip. Know much more
just
about
the clip where you see it.
But
something.
Did you see the one where they did the Danny DeVito dub?
No. Oh, I have to look that up.
Engineer, if we could please end with that, is the Danny DeVito dub of Pikachu speaking. It's literally the best thing ever. Sorry, go ahead.
So what did you think of it? Thoughts?
I think it's just going to depend how it's done. Mm. If it's a great...
Good point.
If it's a great movie, you just sort of... It's also about how soon you're just immersed in that world of it. Mm-hmm. There's going to be people that have decided to hate it. I haven't decided to do that yet. I'm going to wait and see. Because he's spoken before. I mean, there was one, it was like a...
I mean, obviously, you've worked on the show.
Well, also, the new cast worked on it. We were replaced after, like, 9 seasons. It was, like, it's a long story, but the company got bought. So we all worked on, like, the first 8 or 9, and then it was a new cast. But there was one, I'll tweet it at you guys, but there was an incident where Pikachu did have a low male voice, but it was, like, kind of a dream sequence-y kind of thing.
Whoa.
But, again, it wasn't as defined as this is him talking. Like,
okay.
So it was... People don't even really know. Again, people don't really know about it because it wasn't part of the main show. It was kind of an offshoot thing, but it was legit. But, you know, it's funny to see people get worked up over it all.
You gotta love the fanatics.
I love it.
Even when they want to just stand in their wrongness of, like, it's awful. You don't like it, but awful is subjective.
It has to be really good to work. I mean, that's going to be the trick of that.
Yes.
That whole movie. I mean, I'm rooting for it.
Yeah.
but I wouldn't want that job. I wouldn't.
You're like, I don't want to be that one. Actually, speaking of that, you kind of touched upon something. Has it happened often, and how does it feel when you've been doing a project for a while, or a movie, and they have a sequel, or a series, and they have a sequel, but it gets recasted because it's a different company?
Yeah.
How often has that happened, and how does that feel?
It's happened where I have, you know, been replaced, and it's happened where I've replaced people.
Mm,
okay. And I think when I was younger, it bummed me out more. And I'm sort of used to it now. Like, until it airs with my voice, I am not convinced that I have that job.
Mm.
And I mean, for the most part, I'm a pessimistic, angry person. But no, I think this business teaches you pretty quickly that, you know, there's a lot of promises and things that mm-hmm. are going to happen until I'm working or until I have I don't believe anything's real. But it is a shame when it happens because you have some attachment. Mm-hmm. Like, Build-A-Bear was really nice and they sent me the Bulbasaur plushie.
Oh.
But it's someone else's voice in there.
Like,
which is fine. And it's still, look, it sounds good. Like, again, I'm not going to be, like, angry and judgy, but it's a bummer.
Yeah.
But it's what happened was after I believe it was 8 seasons of Pokemon, you know, the company got bought. It was nothing personal. They just mm-hmm. we weren't able to work on it. And I'm not angry at anyone who took the job. It's just a big bummer. And you know, or someone's not available. I had to do something recently, NDAs, I can't talk about it, but where someone wasn't available for a video game.
Sure.
And I did as well as I could to match her voice.
Hmm.
And it is what it is. You know, it's weird because on camera it's a much bigger deal when that happens.
Yeah.
And in voiceover, people let it slide. I mean, a little bit more. I don't want to upset anybody. Like, you know, that's what's weird too is like sometimes they'll like write to you and be like, why are you taking it? I'm like, look, dude,
I took the job. I think it's kind of petty to receive it. Like, especially in this industry, like sometimes you didn't get picked and it, like, you have to get over that. Pretty fast, or you're not going to last long.
Yeah.
It just happens too frequently. I want to know what you guys think about this Pikachu video, because it's maybe my favorite thing on the internet.
You little wiseacre. I'm smart, you're dumb. I'm big, you're little. I'm right, you're wrong. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Oh, man.
There's a longer version.
See, now that's pretty funny. That is okay. It's just that dramatic moment where you're like, no. Okay, I do have a quick question. Mm-hmm. What has been the weirdest question somebody's asked you at a convention? Because those people, there's all kinds of people, and I go to conventions too, so I'm one of those people too. But they can be like,
I want to think of a really good, I feel like I'm going to, in like 2 hours, I'm going to think of a really great answer.
Then you can tweet it.
I'll tweet it. No, I mean, I definitely get asked. I mean, anytime they ask about, like, money
or, that's awkward.
Yeah, people, like, you do get weird. I mean, once I did, when I was in New Zealand, I did say that I was looking for a husband because I wanted to live there. So I did get one proposal.
Oh, cool.
Which was, I mean, look, I didn't have time to stay and get to know the guy, but I was like, I would like to be able to live here. It's beautiful. I didn't think anyone was going to. I thought they knew I was kidding. But, yeah, we do get, you know, a lot of this stuff is really, like, detailed questions. And, like, episode 5, when you said this, and look, I get it. There's shows that I would want to know things like that about.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know the answers.
True.
For the most part.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I got asked today on Twitter if a character, who played a certain character in a show, and I said, I honestly
IMDb
don't know.
IMDb is free and available to everybody.
Well, yeah, it's not always on there, so I said, ask the director so-and-so, and they said, he's not good at responding.
I don't know. Really vested in
Todd Haverkorn, maybe you should be better at responding. So I was like, I don't know.
Tara, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys. This was so much fun.
You guys, I'm Joel Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joel Monique. Every week at blackgirlnerds.com.
And my name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D Lane. That's KARIDLANE.
You want to write them one more time where they can find me, Tara?
Hi. Tara Sands, LA.
Twitter, find her.
Easy. Instagram,
she'll
whatever.
She'll answer your questions even if she doesn't know the answer.
I will make something up.
Thank you guys so much for joining us. We'll see you guys next week right here at Animation Weekly at AfterBuzz TV.
Bye. Thanks, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. to watch or listen to other After shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz, see you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.